In 2010, author Lucy Costigan and photographer Michael Cullen published an acclaimed book celebrating the work of stained glass artist Harry Clark. The book, Strangest Genius, The Stained Glass of Harry Clark, was shortlisted as the best Irish published book that year at the Irish Book Awards. Lucy and Michael have teamed up once again with a follow-up called Dark Beauty, Hidden Detail in Harry Clark's Stained Glass Window. Or stained glass, there's no windows on the book, in the book title. Lucy and Michael are both with me in studio now. I guess, Lucy, there must have been some feeling of unfinished work after the first book that brought you back to go into, and I suppose, again, the devil is always in the detail, and that's the word in there that catches the eye. Hidden detail in Harry Clark's Stained Glass.
That's right, Sean. Well, we had 60,000 images from, you know, when we started off on our Strangest Genius campaign. And, I mean, there's only so many you can put into a book. Mm. And really, it was a catalogue based on location of windows. So we kind of made sure that the full windows were listed in that book. So we had an awful lot of detailed images.
And you wanted to do something.
We wanted to do something with them. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, I wonder, was that you, Michael, saying, because I was looking at some of the images in the book and I thought to myself, how on earth did he even get some of those as they're up in the corners of churches, high up in obscure spots? And, you know, in some cases it feels as if I'm right beside the window, that I'm literally standing 2 feet away from it. And in some cases, you know, you must have been 40 or 50 foot away from it, or else you were climbing ladders and doing all sorts of things to get the pictures. Did you say, look, I've had 60,000 of these, I want a few more in the next book?
Yeah, definitely. It's really, I think in one place they gave us some scaffolding to take the pictures of the windows. Yeah. But we had to use really long lenses to get up there, because some of the windows are just, as you say, so high.
Huge,
up.
Huge, yeah.
And just incredible. Sometimes you wonder how people are supposed to see the detail in the glass windows in some of the churches, just so high up.
Yeah, I suppose just to put things in context before we get stuck into exactly what's happening in this book, and you covered this, I think, in the first book, you really did give us the context of when Harry Clark was working and where the stained glass comes from and his interest in that. But maybe you can give me the potted version of that. When and why he was working in stained glass at a very particular time in Ireland?
Well, Harry Clark was born in 1889, and his father had come over from Leeds, Joshua Clark, and that's really where the stained glass came from, because the father, Joshua, set up a stained glass and church decorating business at the back of his home at 33 North Frederick Street. So Harry was brought up really with stained glass, and he showed a great aptitude for art right from he was a child. And he really was immediately put into, I suppose, being apprenticed as a stained glass artist from a very young age.
From a very young age. And the nature of his stained glass, for those who haven't seen it, how would you describe it? Again, I think the period at which he was making his art is probably very important here, in terms of we're in the middle or at the height of Art Deco, really, aren't we?
Well, that's right. Well, of course, when he started off, it was kind of the Celtic Revival and Art Nouveau. And by the 20s, of course, it had moved to Art Deco. But stained glass was very dismal, like when Harry Clark was born.
Very
dismal and very poor.
Right.
Very abysmal. And basically, there was a whole revival of the stained glass medium with Untoured Linna that they set up in Dublin. And really, Harry Clark took stained glass to a completely different level, because first of all, he was a book illustrator. So if you look at his windows, it's really like looking at an illustration on glass.
Funny, I was talking about this upstairs before we came down to studio, and I said, well, what's the name of the guy who illustrated Oscar Wilde's stories back in the day? And Aubrey Beardsley was who I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much, it's in that style, if you like, but in stained glass rather than a drawing on a page.
That's right. Well, I mean, he was a very successful book illustrator as well for Harrop and Company in London. But this is what's so unique about him. I mean, he was a brilliant graphic artist, and this is where the detail came from, because it was literally like drawing on glass and painting on glass.
For the photographing then, 60,000 images in total, and if I'm understanding Lucy properly, Michael, there were 60,000 taken at the start of this journey before the first book. You've used about 500 here, and I presume around about the same in the last book, so there's still another 59,000 to go. But was that your introduction to Harry Clark? Did you know the work before you came to photograph it back in, I think it was 2008 or 9 you started the work?
Sorry, 2009. We live in Wexford Town, and just across the road in Bright Street Church, there's a Harry Clark window. So we would have photographed that maybe in the very early days before we started the campaign. And that was really our kind of our practice window, if you want to call it.
Right, well, tell me about that window. So this was growing up in Wexford, you saw this window, was it? Yeah.
Yes, I've always been there when we were going to masses over the years, and we didn't pay much attention to it until Lucy pointed out Harry Clark. And and then I started to learn about the detail and the colour. Harry Clark is just loves blue glass, and you could see that so much detail in his windows.
Well, describe the window in Wexford, though, the one that you would have looked at so often.
Yes, it's a 1919 O'Keefe window. It's just beautiful blue colours, elongated fingers, which is Harry Clark's style, really long kind of.
And what is
fingers.
The image of? Is it a particular character?
It's the character is of
it's Our Lady. And Saint Adrian and Saint Aidan.
Right, so there is a religious theme that's to right, it in this particular case. But as is often the case with Harry Clark, you mightn't necessarily see the immediate religious connotation, because there's a very strong secular aspect to his work as well, Lucy.
Absolutely. And well, in this particular window, I suppose it is quite religious, because it's from 1919. I suppose as his work progressed, it changed.
He moved
more
a bit further
more
away from that.
But even taking the Wexford window, for example, it took me a very long time to actually see that St. Aidan was wearing this beautiful silver cloak with kind of red motifs. And it took me a long, long time to actually realise that this is a First World War window, because William O'Keefe, it's actually in his memory, and he died at the Battle of Arras in 1917. So when you really look into that cloak, it's actually full of blood red poppies.
So this is the sort of detail that you went back to with this second
right.
book. You went searching for specific details like that, that really tell a story as much about Clark himself as they do about maybe the story that's been told in the window. The foreword, in fact, mentions a very specific church in New Jersey. And there are
that's
seashells
right.
on that on one of the windows in that church. You might tell me a bit about that spot.
That's right. Well, that's in Bayonne, New Jersey. And Harry Clark was approached it was around 1928, and he was approached to do 48 windows for the Basilica in Bayonne, which was a huge undertaking, and it was his first American commission, so very important. But because he sadly died so early in January.
And was it an unexpected death, really? Did he die quite young?
Well, he was only 41 in 1931. He died. He had chest complaints and then developed TB. And, you know, I suppose it was sudden, and yet it wasn't.
Yeah, it was, I suppose,
yeah,
at different times when
exactly.
TB was
nothing could be
quite
really
often
done.
A death sentence for people.
That's right.
The other thing that interested me was your own story of your first, your first seeing a Harry Clark window. And this will bring anybody who's ever had to get a bus from Parnell Square will appreciate how you first came across his work.
Yes, I was a student, and I was on my way to Dundalk, and the buses were from Parnell Square. And I was quite familiar with the National Gallery, but not with the Hugh Lane. So I just wandered into the Hugh Lane and just turned to the left, and all of a sudden just saw this incredible stained glass window.
The Eve of St. Agnes.
The Eve of St. Agnes, and I had never seen anything like it. So
describe that work to us, which
okay.
is in the book.
Yes, well, this is really like, it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet story, but it has a happy ending where poor Fro comes into the castle on the eve of St. Agnes, and he is the sworn enemy of Madeline's family, but he wants to try to take Madeline away to his...
And these two characters, are they secular characters here
yes,
on the eve of St. Agnes?
Yes, these are completely secular. It was actually commissioned by Harold Jacob for his home in Aylesbury Road, and it was a personal window. And so there's no religious
connotation here at all. And very much the colours here are very Harry Clark. Midnight blues,
yes,
and silvers.
Beautiful blue,
a touch of Gustav
silver.
Klimt in some of the colourings.
Absolutely. He would have been very much with the Successionists and Klimt.
And the other thing that strikes me looking at some of the images, the painting that won the painting for Ireland, whatever the correct title of that.
Yes.
The kiss on the turret stair,
that's,
you know, the
right
one that I'm talking about.
Beautiful.
In the National Gallery. A similar kind of style from that painting to Harry Clark's Windows.
That's right. And then, of course, the Eve of St. Agnes was chosen as one of the top 10 favourites in that competition, which was the only stained glass piece.
One final thing then, just as we finish up, to give a sense of the secular side of things, the window that... the Geneva window with 1930, where is that? And maybe give us a sense of the content of that window, because it's not all holy saints or even men and women kind of caught in a slightly romantic embrace. So this is quite a bawdy window,
it's
really.
Fair, yes, it has a lot of sexual content, and it probably was where Harry Clark was heading if he had have lived. I mean, he was probably going to move away from a lot of the religious, although you could say that was the day-to-day life. But the Geneva window, anyway, was commissioned by the state in 1925, and Harry Clark chose the theme of Irish writers and depicted a number of works. Some of them then ended up being very sexual, particularly O'Fuaylán's Mr. Gilhooly, where there's an almost naked dancer dancing across the panel with this diaphanous sheet just covering her.
Yeah, and this is a time when censorship, and particularly in the case of O'Fuaylán, when censorship was going to come right down on the works of those people. Is there
That's
a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh volume in the way after the success of volumes one and two? Michael's nodding yes.
Well, you never know. And just this week, we also have a play that we've written. Myself, my brother Anthony, my sister Therese have written a play on Harry Clark, The Last Day of Harry Clark. So if there's anyone out there interested in putting on a play...
You
never
have
know.
The script ready to
we
rock
have,
and roll.
We have, it's all ready.
All right, well, okay. That's Lucy Costigan, author, and Michael Cullen, photographer, speaking to us there about their current publication, which is Dark Beauty, Hidden Detail in Harry Clark's Windows, and it is published by Merrion Press.